at the end of Perek Gimel, Sif Tes, it's very hard to understand. The Lashon is very, very hard over here. Rav Kook says, B'shar Shiruach HaKadosh Neveh Mikneses Yisrael Shoyre Al Ha'adam. At those times when Ruach HaKadosh, now Ruach HaKadosh here doesn't mean a madrega of Ruach HaKadosh where a person is able to see the future. The madrega of Ruach HaKadosh is Neveh Mikneses Yisrael. It comes from Knesset Yisrael. Remember that the entire Jewish people in the Sherish of who we are as a people is called Knesset Yisrael. And Knesset Yisrael, the ingathering of the Jewish people in the root of Shammai, in Shammayim, where we're not divided into Yankel and Beryl and Shmerel and Sarif Garach and Rach and Laya, but one Heftza of Knesset Yisrael. Ruach HaKadosh Neveh Mikneses Yisrael, the most basic level means when a Jew is living a life in which his goals, his dreams, his hopes are higher than his own personal self, are much bigger than his own personal self, and connect on the deepest level of who he is to Knesset Yisrael, to the Jewish people as a people. We were talking about this a great deal some months ago. A person who is living me'ever la'atzmai, beyond himself, whose mind, whose thoughts are not just on himself, but on Knesset Yisrael. That way of thinking, and that way of living, connects a person to a madrega of Ruach HaKadosh. Again, it doesn't mean fortune seeing, fortune telling, but a madrega of a hergish that lifts him up to a place that's higher than his own personal kaiches. Each and every one of us has certain kaiches and certain kishrinas, talents, skills, certain limitations of the intellect. There's a certain range of emotions that each person knows that he or she is capable of, feels in life. A person that has a certain kayach of the intellect, of thinking, even in school, if there's a standardized test that a person normally, I don't know what the numbers are these days, but let's say somebody was getting a 960 on the SATs and he took it three times, so then he would take all different kinds of courses. And then maybe with all the different patentim and courses and all the different shtick you could do, he would bring it up to a 1100, from a 960 to an 1100. But it wasn't like a person was going, somebody that was getting a 720 on his SATs would take a course and get a 1560. It didn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. There's a certain madrega of seichel that no one's exactly into this madrega, that madrega. But there are certain dargas of thinking, of intellect, and there's certain dargis also with the emotional range of a person and his personality. But when a person loves Jews, when a person is not living in a small way where all he thinks about is himself and even his wife, his kids, his best friends, he's not metzumtzum to the pratim of life and to the Jewish people, but rather he connects to the klolius of Knesset Yisrael, to the love of the Jewish people. He thinks all the time, he worries all the time about Klal Yisrael. And even if things are going well, Baruch Hashem, in his own life, And it's not just if somebody in the community or in the shul, but if there's a yid anywhere in the world, if there's something that's going on, that connects the person to something much bigger than himself, to Knesset Yisrael. So he's no longer this dangling separate piece of reality, Moshe Kapoya Barul Shmaru. He's now a chelik of Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is a big, big corporation. It's a big corporation. It's the biggest thing in the world. Next to the Bari Olam is called Knesset Yisrael. Shechina. So something happens to this person. Even though he himself is limited intellectually and emotionally, but he has decided to live a life higher than a life of prote protein, of individual separate Jews, separate details, and to enter into a bigger picture called Knesset Yisrael, Klalius Knesset Yisrael, the entirety of the Jewish people. That person, when that special, what Rav Kook calls that special Ruach HaKadosh, when that descends upon a person, then something happens to his way of understanding Torah also. He begins to see Torah in a different way too. Whereas until now, he was seeing Torah as a child growing up. He was seeing Torah, each separate Rashi, each separate Tosfos, each separate piece of Chumash and Navi, each separate Halacha, as we've been talking about. He's been seeing it in that way of the Prat, of the individual Din, of the individual Pasuk. Something happens to this person. There's a Ruach HaKadosh that comes upon him. I'm not talking about something mystical. There's a Ruach HaKadosh that comes upon a person who lives every minute of his life with Knesset Yisrael, not just with me and my family or my chavru, but he lives constantly with Knesset Yisrael. Royahu Ba'inov Esha Kol Tarish Balpa Kula Lachol Prater He Estafus Sharish Rucha HaKadosh Al Ha'uma. He begins to see, when he learns Torah, he begins to see with his eyes how the entire Torah Shabbal Peh, L'chol Prateh, Torah Shabbal Peh is vast, with a billion details. And in every detail, there are billions of details. But this person begins to see, begins to feel, and all of its details, he is stafus shoyrish rucha hakadosh shel ha'uma. It's an outgrowth, a branch, a flower that grows out from the shoyrish rucha hakadosh shel ha'uma, of the holy root of the Jewish people. It's not seen anymore as a separate dangling din, halacha, pasuk, that is just to be understood on its own. But rather, this person who is attached to the energy plant of Knesset Yisrael, he feels the ruach of the Jewish people, of the entire Jewish people. He feels that in every single Gemara, in every single Pasuk, in every single Din, in every single Halacha, in every single Limud, he feels this greatness of what we've been learning about this entire parak, of the Klal, of the Torah de la Eila, of Knesset Yisrael. When you look at a Jew down here in this world, so that's a Yisrael de la Sat. He's a Yid. is a Yid from this world. And as a Yid, he has his good points and his bad points. But when you see that Yid as an outgrowth of Knesset Yisrael, of the Jewish people, and you, in your mind, connect him to the Shirish of Knesset Yisrael, this is what I was talking about this past Shabbos, Parashas Achar Kedoshim. When Rebbe Lozer, the son of Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai, when the Gemara tells us in Tanis how Rebbe Lozer met that person, and Rebbe Lozer said, "Kam mechua Adam Zah, how ugly this person is, how ugly." And he asked, and Rebbe Lozer asked him, "Maybe you come from a place where everybody's ugly." We were talking about that. How could it be that Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon, would say to a Jew, "How ugly"? What does he care? A person looks like this or that, and chlal, to say such a thing. Kam mechua, he said. So you remember that this Yid said to him, and Rashi brings down that those who say that it was Eliyahu Navi, but the simple pshat, it was a person that was ugly. And Rashi, and the Gemara says that the person said, "If I'm ugly, you see me as ugly, then go ask that question of the craftsman, the artist who made me." And we were talking about that last Shabbos, that Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon wasn't looking at this person physically and saying that he's ugly. So Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon. Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon saw this person through and through as a mushchus, as a very, very low person. And Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon was taken aback, and he was wondering, perhaps this is the result of the hashpah, of the influence of the people in the town that you're living in. Maybe you're living in a difficult place and has hashpah, and you would become such a person that's so ugly. Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon looked through him and couldn't find in this person a good midah, something. He's a bad person. And the answer of that Yid was, "Leich le'uman, go to the artist who made this kli." I mean, that's really what this Yid was saying was, you know, you're Rebbe Lozer Rebbe Shimon, and you and your father were in the cave for 13 years. There's chulukah there, whether this might happen before or after. So let's say it goes according to that it happened after. So you and your father were in the cave for 13 years. And in that cave, you were learning Sisrei Torah, the deepest, deepest secrets of Torah. And with all of the secrets that you learned of Sisrei Torah, what you don't understand, or you haven't learned, your father is different, but what you haven't learned is the deepest, deepest secret of what a Jew is. That you didn't see. And a chenami, I'm a mushchus, I'm a manuvel, I'm terrible. From the top of my head to my little toe, ain't be mesayim, there isn't anything that's unblemished. Everything's a mess. But there is one who sees me in a different way than you. And that's the one who made me. And you don't see that. And each and every one of us is guilty of that. That happens all the time. That when you separate a person and you see that person as just an outgrowth of the Jewish people, but you don't see him in a way that's connected to Klalius Knesset Yisrael, but just as a piece, as a separate din. It's a separate halach. It's called this guy, whatever his name is, Avram, Avram ben Rivka. And this Avram ben Rivka, you see him, and when you look at him as a separate entity, you say, "Kama mechua." He's ugly. He's ugly. And there is an ugliness in that outgrowth of the Jewish people. Leich le'uman sha'asani means the one who made me, the one who made me, knows that I'm not just the person that you see in front of you. And there's still hope for, even for a person like me to change. Why? Because I'm not just a separate din. I'm not a separate piece. I'm connected to this unbelievable reality that's called Knesset Yisrael. And therefore, as long as I'm alive, my essence is plugged in to that reality that's called Knesset Yisrael. We spoke a lot about this in Eretz HaTshuva, but we saw and we see even that they're otherwise not keeping mitzvahs, they're not keeping halacha, but they have a deep, deep abiding love for the Jewish people and for Eretz Yisrael and so on. They love Jews and they're connected to Jews and they want to be with Yidden and they think about Eretz Yisrael and how to help Yidden and so on. Even though they don't feel a shaychus to mitzvahs, he's still tied together with Knesset Yisrael. That klal of Knesset Yisrael is always much, much greater than the sum total of the parts. And Rav Kook is saying, I believe over here, that b'shar shiruah ha-kadosh nevem Knesset Yisrael shoril ha-adam ra'yuhu be'inav eksha kol teri shabal peh kul l'chol prateha. If he looks at Jews a certain way, as being not just separate, but being pratim that are part of a big cloud called Knesset Yisrael, then he begins to understand Torah in a different way, which we're going to see a lot about during in the rest of this. He begins to see the Torah in a different way. He begins to see how all of the details of Torah Shabbal Peh are really Hestafus Sharish Ruach HaKadosh Shel Ha'uma, are all Hestafus, an outgrowth of the Ruach HaKadosh, of the Holy Ruach of the Jewish people as a people. The Kulam Yachad, and he sees how all of the details, the Kulam Yachad, all of these details, HaPratim uPrate HaPratim, the Pratim and the Prate HaPratim, Matzigim Heim B'Mloi HaChayim V'Aira Es Nishmasa, represent in all of their life, in all of their light, the soul of the Jewish people. The soul of the Jewish people is contained in every tiny din, in every tiny little ha'or in the Gemara, in a Taisvus, whatever, is the soul of the Jewish people. The whole Malay Kaimasa, in all of its stature, in all of its greatness. And it's hard to try to explain these things. These are things that Rav Kook lived, and we're just talking about. This is what he was living. Umitoicha ahava gedola, and from this great love, shemizgala b'neshama l'ha'uma kula, that a Jew, that's revealed in the heart of a Jew for the entire Jewish people, that this Yid feels a great love for the nation, for the Jewish people. B'chol skulas nishmasa, and all that is special and unique about the neshama, not of a person, but the neshama of the Jewish people. A person who feels that, what happens is, bispashetas ahava tahira tmidis al yayna al kol tarish ba'peh. Then there spreads forth this pure and constant and great love that he has, spreads forth on every single detail that he learns of Torah. Whatever he's learning in Torah, it's bursting with this great feeling of a connection to the bigger picture. Through my learning this Gemara, through my learning this tshuva from the Chassam Sofer, whatever it is, there's something that's higher than himself that's taking place. There's something bigger than himself. Kodem Kol, we'll talk more about this later in the Sefer, he's lifted to a place that's higher than his own level of understanding. Remember I said a minute ago that each person has limitations. The person says, look, I know that I'm not going to, you know, I'm a 75 to 80 person, you know, in math. I'm not the 95 to 100 person in math. And you figure that you're pretty much 120, you're also going to be, you know, in that range in math. You're not going to all of a sudden become a mathematician. There are limitations. When it comes to emotions, the person says, oh, I'm not like a particularly warm and passionate type. I'm more of a reserved and colder type and so on. These are limitations that a person has for whatever reason, where they come from, the levusha, wherever they come from. But when a person plugs in to Ahavas Yisrael, I think that's what the tzaddik is saying here. I can't explain each part of it, I don't know. But when a person plugs in to Knesset Yisrael, and he loves the Jewish people as a people, and he sees he sees an individual Jew, not for the ugliness of that piece of time in his life, of who he is right then. He sees a schlepper on the street of Yerushalayim where everything is torn and dirty. I remember that there was a Yid, I heard he passed away. There's a Yid we used to see in Bar Park all the time. That used to walk around with plastic bags, a million plastic bags. And he was, if you were anywhere within Bemis, I'm not exaggerating, anywhere like 20, 30 feet, there was an unbearable stench that came from him. And he used to ask people for rides. I was talking to him, actually, somebody in my mishpacha mentioned to me recently that he was no longer alive. And I remember I was once, the guys told me that he was a big Talmud Chacham. So he used to come sometimes there, and he used to learn in Hechel Menachem upstairs. It's not open anymore, but he used to come there sometimes. He would walk in. And there was a Yid there. There was an Alta Yid there that was always, every time I used to see him there. And once in a while, this fellow, this schlepper, would come in. And the whole room, which was like, I would say like maybe, like not twice as large as this, but like one and a half of this, the whole room. Within 30 seconds, had a terrible smell. Akedekach was this Yid, so down. It had such a smell, you couldn't concentrate. It was so strong. And there was an Alti Yid that was always busy there, looking things up and writing. And he would run over to this Yid and sit down with him right next to him. And like everybody else would go, oh, he would sit right next to him, and he would put his hand on him and put his arm around him and ask him how he's doing, and they'd learn with him something. They said that the smelly guy, they said, was a big Yehud, something, and learning. And he would talk to him. You know, you could be like the most idealistic person, but you have to be a very, very big Balma Draga. It's hard to describe what the ugliness of how he looked and what he was carrying, and it was a very sick person. And this Yid would sit with him the whole time. Everybody else was suffocating, and this Yid would sit with him and was learning with him and talking to him like he did, like the person was like a regular guy. Other people say, "Hey, Kama Machur is how ugly this person is," but that Alta Yid wasn't. A person who sees, you know, anytime you separate something, it shrivels and it dies. But when something is connected to it, it's shirish and it's alive. We'll talk about that a little bit by Mitzvah. I want to talk about that a little bit by Lagbaim, by the Hilul, that Indian. And when somebody sees with the eyes of Knesset Yisrael, not the eyes of a separate person, so then in that world of Knesset Yisrael, this Yid with the plastic bags is Yofa Adra Yossi Kitetsa Mum Einbach. So each and every one of us showers 10 times a week, and we all send our stuff to the cleaners, and we're mamish taken care of and everything. We're not like sometimes you go in Yerushalayim and you see some of these chever schleppers. We're not like that at all. We're all well groomed. Everybody's nice. Everybody's got all kinds of, even guys have all kinds of lotions and stuff. People, guys smell like ladies these days. They have all kinds of stuff going on, spritzing and standing because here and there and they're spritzing and everything, right? And So who smells worse? You know, one of us, or the person in Yerushalayim that you see that has a dirty coat and the tall cotton is sweeping the street along as it goes. You know, even if you see. And if you or I would be separated from Knesset Israel, what would we be and who would we be? Nothing. When a person learns Jews in a big way, he doesn't see a Jew just as a separate din, but he sees him as part of the sugi that's called Klal Yisrael, then something happens to his way of learning Torah as well. Then his way of learning Torah is he doesn't just see this as a, like we're learning the whole parak as a separate din. And which is boring and tiring, and in certain ways, not even appealing. He feels the whole in that piece. He feels the bigger picture in that part. So Rav Kook is telling us at the end of the parak, I believe, that he's telling us at the end of the parak that an Eitzah. No, it's all I've been talking about. Rav Kook is saying all I've been talking about is that. You mustn't get lost in the Torah de Lasata. You must connect the Torah de Lasata with the Torah de La'ela. So, you know, it's the end of the parak, and we're wondering, say there, Rabbi, but, you know, what do you, Lamaisa, where do we begin? You know, how do I begin to see the bigger picture of Torah? And to feel the breathtaking achdus, the oneness, which we'll learn more about in the next parak, the oneness of Torah. How do I begin to feel that? How can I begin to feel excited about this pasuk, this Rashi, this Gemara, and to feel the excitement of it being kala Torah kula? How do I begin? So maybe at the end of the parak, the tzaddik is saying you begin by trying to look at Jews differently, trying to connect to the entirety of Knesset Yisrael. Sof kol sof, kutcher brichu, Yisrael varaisa. Chag, Hashem, the Jewish people, and the Torah are one. It's all one. You feel separated from Hashem. You feel separated from Torah. You feel, I don't know, Torah, it's hard with the learning, and I don't feel connected. I like this thing in Torah, I don't like that thing in Torah. But if you enter into that world of Yisrael in a bigger way, and you connect to the neshama of the Jewish people, then Rav Kook says, "V'kulam yachad apratim v'pratei apratim atzigim heim b'leya chaim v'ha'oyres neshmasa b'chol m'leya kermasa u'mitoich ha'ahava ha'gadoy l'shem ezgala b'neshom l'ha'uma kula." That by means of this great love that's revealed in the soul of a Jew for the entire Jewish people, b'chol skulas neshmasa. From there, it's mispashetas ahava tahira tmidis el yaina al kol tahira shabalpa. From there spreads forth, from that place of Yisrael, and your love and one's love for the entirety of the Jewish people, from who they are and where they come from, and to overlook the sometimes unappealing or unattractive pratim in the behavior of Jews and our own behavior, and to look at the bigger picture of Mum Einbach, Yanosi Tamasi, Hashem Yisbach says Ta'oimasi, my twin, my perfect one. So then the person's way of seeing Torah is altogether different. It's mispashetas ahavet tahirat midis al yon al kol tahir shabal peh. It's no longer just this din and that halacha. Everything is filled with the neshama of Klal Yisrael. Everything is filled with not this part of that, but the whole picture. See how when Rabbi Shimon came out the first time, Kamakim Shanos and Einav, right? Wherever he looked when he came out from the cave, boom, was being destroyed. Charish b'shazriya, charish b'shazriya, charish b'shazriya. Torah ma tehela. So Gishim, what's going to be with the Torah? Hashem didn't like that, that Rabbi Shimon was burning everybody up with his eyes. And Hashem didn't agree with what Rabbi Shimon said, Torah ma tehela. Because on the highest level, which is when Rabbi Shimon came out the second time, that yid is standing there with his talus cut and blowing in the wind, schwitzing over his field, and planting something in Eretz Yisrael. He himself is a shtick tire. He himself is a piece of tire. He's part of it of Kutchibuch Yisrael Varaisa. He's a piece of tire also. And whatever happened that last year, that final year when they went into the Ma'or, into the cave, that something changed by Rabbi Shimon, of course we're not masik how and what that means, from being separate to being the entire picture. Because after he came out from the cave, the last time, then all he wanted to do is to go help Jews. That you see in the Gemara, when you go from Lama Gimel to Lama Dalet in Shabbos. All he wanted to do afterwards is to help Jews, and to connect to Jews. Until that time, he had been separated from Jews for a long time. And being separated from Jews, and having learned the deepest secrets of Torah that would become the Giluim of the Zohar HaKadosh, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling him, just maybe Hashem is telling him, that you can't possibly get it. You can't possibly grasp Kol HaTorah Kula, which is what he was seeking. You can't, without grasping at the same time the entirety of the Jewish people. How every Jew is Kaddish V'Torah. How every Jew himself is a piece of Torah. Instead of destroying Jews, if you're worried about Yidden, then go and teach them Torah. Go and help them. But if you're not ready for that, then Chizru L'Marasim, go back into the cave. You could learn Zohar 10 times over. But if all of that Torah hasn't brought you to a place where you see that Jew in terms of the secret of who he is, so then there's a disconnect between the Torah and Yisrael. And if there's a disconnect between the Torah and Yisrael, then it means that something's not right also in your relationship with Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem. So Chizru L'Marascha, which is a way of going back into the beginning. The Ma'ar is like going back into the womb, what that Ma'ar was. And what happens in the womb? In the womb, a person, the Malach teaches a Jew, Kol HaTorah Kula, right? In the womb, you learn Kol HaTorah Kula. So Rabbi Shimon was sent back into the womb. He was sent back into the Ma'ar to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, but Kol HaTorah Kula, as Kol HaTorah Kula, Kutshubichu Yisrael Varaisa, Kol HaTorah Kula. Not that there's something that's called Torah, separated from Kodesh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. It's not separated. It's all one big thing. Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael Varais. It's one big thing. So if all of your Torah learning brought you to kill Jews, whatever that meant when he was burning them up, if that's what it brought you to, so then you have to go back and start again into the cave, go back into your mother's womb, and then learn Kol HaTorah Kula. There's a candle that's shining from one end of the world to the other end of the world, that has everything together. That's what the child sees inside the mother's womb. Misayfa ilavad sayfa. And the return of Rabbi Shimon or Elazar into the cave was that going back to the beginning, to the shorish of Torah, to the shorish of creation, where nothing is divided, everything is one. Inside the mother's womb, the baby's eating what the mother's eating. The baby is an uba yerech imai. The baby is just an extension of the mother. And that's the Torah de la'ilah. When you see every Jew as being an extension of the Jewish people. Everything that you're learning, it's not a separate piece of Torah, it's an extension of Kol HaTorah Kula. An extension of Kol HaTorah Kula. Imagine if you went to some fancy house in a fancy neighborhood Not like the five. The five towns thinks that the big knackers. They're much fancier neighbors. They're fancier neighbors in the five towns. You go like someplace, I don't know where, further out of the island than the Hamptons or something. I don't know. These places. So you go to some fancy, fancy place. And you go over there and there's a Yid, and he's a big gevir, and he has a magnificent home. And you go there to the house, and he shows you his house, and then you look out the window of the house, it's very nice. And you look out from the window and you see that there's another big house in his backyard, like 100, he has a big field in his backyard, and it's like 100 feet, 200 feet away, there's another house. And you ask him, who lives there in that house? He says, no, that's our house. So what's that doing over there in the backyard? So he says, well, that's an extension of this house. The family Kanana has grown. And now we have not only children, but the Eniklucha coming. So we have an extension of the house. So anybody would look at that and say, that an extension means that it should be connected to the house. Right? An extension is connected. It's not separate. It's an extension. Then it has a din of being one house. Well, like Rav Huttner gave the moshel that I've mentioned many times over the years in a letter that he wrote. We had a Talmud that felt torn. The student felt very torn that he was leaving the world of the yeshiva after many years, and he was going to work. And he said he wrote to the Rosh Yeshiva that he felt that he was now beginning to live a double life. He was living a double life. In other words, he has his life, the life that he has as a Yid, and then the life that he has when he goes to work. Two different lives. So you remember Rav Huttner said the Moshel? Rav Huttner said there's a difference between a person who has a one-bedroom apartment in New York and a one-bedroom apartment in Miami and a person who has a two-bedroom apartment in New York or in Miami. It's a difference. The difference is that the person who has one bedroom here and one bedroom there is living a double life. But a person who has in one place two bedrooms, that's not called a double life, it's called an expanded life. That's what we're learning about on Shabbos, it's Rachavos, an expanded life. An expanded life means it's not a contradiction, it's an extension, an expansion. When a person adds to the house, it's an extension of the house. It's not a separate house. It's an extension to the house. It's the house, just the house. The house goes, the house is bigger. Every Jew has to be seen. When you see a person, you could either look at him as being a separate Jew, or you could see him as an extension of Knesset Yisrael. So you feel like this, what happened to this extension over here? Also, with the extension, what happened to us? What happened to this extension? So then, instead of saying Kama Mechur Iza, like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, afterwards he cried and he asked him for forgiveness. Instead of that, then Adarabba, go over there and roll up your sleeves and see what you can do with the extension. But you have to first see the person as an extension of Klal Yisrael. If you want to be somebody that's makar of other Jews, and you see them as other Jews, then you're in the wrong business. That's the wrong business. You should be in something else. You can only be really makar of Jews if you see that Jew, even though he's a million miles away from Torah Mitzvahs, only if you see him as an extension of Klal Yisrael. And you're brokenhearted because there's a beautiful chelik of Klal Yisrael that needs like painting and fixing up and spackling and painting, and that's something else, like if you see in your house. You try to tell any of the guys that you try to tell to a wife, let's see, move into a house, and the house is a nice house. There's one or two bedrooms that are a total wreck. And just say to your wife, so, you know what, just ignore those bedrooms. We have Baruch Hashem, five other bedrooms. Those two bedrooms, you know what, we'll put yellow tape like they have when you're in a dangerous, you know, like the fireman. We'll put yellow tape over there. Yeah, the fireman, they put over the yellow tape. I mean, but we have Baruch Hashem. We have a beautiful chelik of the house. It's all fixed up. It's beautiful. That part of the house, they're going to just tape up. We're not going to go into there. She's not going to go for that. And you'll say, But I don't understand. We don't have to go into that place. And even to have guests, we have here plenty of room for guests. So put a piece of yellow tape in front. I don't want to go in there. It's not going to go. You know why? Because it's part of the house. It's part of the house. It doesn't go like that. Because the nature of a woman is to feel more of a hiskashus to the house. He doesn't see. He sees that. I got four bedrooms. That's six bedrooms. I don't know. If I would need another two bedrooms, then I would fix it up. I don't need that. I have four bedrooms. It's enough. The same way I shared with you a terrible hagosha. It wasn't really in this way, but I once spoke to you about this. I mentioned how I had with one of my children. When they were little, they were very close. They were close in age, that cheva. And it was a hard time. Those who have lived through that knows that it's a big nisayon. And I felt like I had been so strong with this child, and I was very tzibrachin about it. I felt very, very tzibrachin. You find yourself arguing with a kid, and then everything was like a hard day, and then you're too strong, and I felt very, very good. And I remember, she finally went to sleep, and I was sitting there on the bed. I went in to look at her, and she was sleeping. And it's hard to believe it's the same child from a half hour ago, and you look at that child, and then you see the child, be'emes, who she is. So innocent and beautiful, and you see all that. And I remember this hagosh that I had, that this feeling that I had was, at that time I think we had four children. I remember thinking, okay, so this one is for Fallon, but I have another three. Like, I messed up this one. This is finished. I ruined this kid because I was angry at the kid, and I was strong with her. So that's for Fallon. But and I was lost in that anguish that I spoke that way to the kid. So the only way I can be mechazer myself is there are another three. So I'm going to try to make it work by the other three. It's going to be good by the other three. This one's already for fun. There's nothing I can do about this. But she's already 7 years old, 8 years old, so fun. Our relationship, she's going to remember the rest of her life, that daddy was so mean to her, and she's going to her whole life, it's sort of finished. But the other three, they still don't know that about daddy. So the other three, I could try to salvage in the family. And I was very tzibrochen about this whole machshava, that I had. And I shared it with my wife. I told her this machshava, this way that I was feeling. And she, gave me that look. Well, are you joking? What are you talking about? And I said, I have this terrible feeling. It's fafalim. She said, she's whatever, I don't remember, 8 years old. It's fafalim. 8 years old, you can go, tomorrow you could fix the whole thing. You can go into her room tonight, wake her up and fix the whole thing. What's for foul? The love that a mother has for a child, for children, she carried that child in her womb. It makes no difference if it's 40, 50 years later, that child is always an extension of herself. Her father, he doesn't always feel that. The father sometimes feels that there's me and there's the kid. That's where our problems come in. That's where you have a lot of times the arguments. There'll be in almost every Jewish home, there'll be something like this, where I would have a thing with my wife, like there was the kid did something crazy, whatever, and there has to be a din, and I'm talking about din, there has to be discipline, there has to be a din, and my wife is 100%. She sounds like she's on the same page, right? We have to come down, we have to do this, we have to make this rule and that rule. So we make this whole thing, before you go out on the basketball, we're gonna, this is it, we have a plan. We have a plan, we work this out, and this worked, mamish, we're gonna do, right? Everything's the same, we agree 100%. So then it comes to the b'shas ma'isa, and you call the kid in, because now's the time for the gzeirah, and you call the kid in, and the kid comes in there, so me, daddy, so I start with the Lashonis of Din. And this happened 1,000 times. And my wife starts to say, look, it doesn't have to be this time that we're talking about maybe if this happens again. And I'm going, we had 2 hours on this Inyan. We spoke about all the halachas. And we went through this. We chazed it over. And we came up with a plan that this is the mahalach of what to do. And then I'm looking and I see that my wife's looking at the kid. And I'm already out of the picture. It's them against me. And I thought it was the two of us against the kid. No. It's the child with his mother or her mother against dieting. And then afterwards they'll say, what happened over there? I don't know what just took place. She said, yeah, you did. You, I didn't mean to be so strong, like you were coming like that. It was not such a big deal. I said, we went through this whole thing. It was a very big deal. And like, you know, how you start thinking about the kid's whole future is going to be messed up because of this and teacher, whatever. And that. And I said, it was too much. And, you know, we really didn't talk that way when we were with each other, because the difference is that Hasishkach Isha Pri Vitna. You understand? That's how Hashem speaks about the Jewish people. Hashem speaks about the Jewish people. He says, do you think I could forget the child that I carried in my womb? We get angry at Jews and you wanna say a bad word that'll kill that person. Not mamish to kill, but the bad word will kill the person. And Hashem Baruch all of a sudden looks at that yid. You're standing there and you're talking about dinim, and Hashem looks at that yid and says, Hasishkach Isha Pri Vitna. You think I could forget you? This is to Hashem. Every Jew is an extension kivyachol of the Bari Olam. Every Jew is an extension. It's not a separate thing in the backyard. It's an extension of the Bari Olam. That's what it means. The midas harachmim, yagoyl rachamecha al midasecha, yagoyl rachamecha al midasecha. What's rachamecha? Rachamecha is a lashon of rechem. Rechem means the mother's womb. Yagoy l'rachamecha al midasecha. What's midas? Midas means when something's separate. A measure, right? Midas is a measurement. This is 2x2, 3x3. It's a measurement. It has a midah. A midah means it has a separate shape and form. It's separated. Midah is a lashon michnaseit bad. Midah, midoy bad. It's a measurement. That's what the midah is. Yagoylu rachamecha al midasecha. That Hashem's loving compassion rolls over and washes away the midah. That Hashem should go with him. Lifnei Mishus Adin. This is nahegim imanu, that you should be noig with us, not in the way of din. Din is in his midah. Midah keneged midah. So the father is talking midah keneged midah. This then midah keneged midah is seichel. But the mother is talking about yadoilu rachamecha al midah seichel, because for the mother the child is always an extension. In a healthy situation, that's her family. So she'll always have, even if it's not a, forget about a mansion someplace in the Hamptons. If they have a 2-bedroom apartment in Bnei Brak or whatever, 1-bedroom apartment in Geula. She's ready to invite over the this family and that family, the nieces and nephews and relatives and this and that. That's her extended family. But for the men, very often each person is a separate birya. By the tzaddikim, it's not like that. The big tzaddikim, every Jew is an extension of himself. He's a part of himself. So a yid who looks at Jews that way. A yid who looks at Jews that way, that every single Jew is an extension of Knesset Yisrael, every single halacha that he learns, every single din in Torah Shabbat Peh is an extension of Bereishis Bara Elokim as a Shemayim Vesaretz. It's not a separate thing. It's not separate from Hashem. It's Bereishis Bara Elokim as a Shemayim Vesaretz. Right? You're learning the Pasuk Bereishis Bara Elokim, and now you have an extension in Tavshin Ayin, that you're sitting in Tavshin Ayin, and you're learning. And you're learning something that you never saw before in your life. You're learning a chiddush, from, you know, something from Reb Shmuel Rizovsky, a chiddush you heard from Reb Shmuel Rizovsky, a shiur from one of the great Rashi Yeshiva. That's not a separate piece of Torah. That's an extension of Bereishis Bara Elokim as a Shemayim Vesaretz. That's how you learn Torah. You see every Jew as an extension of Knesset Yisrael. You see every piece of Torah as an extension of Bereishis Bara Elokim. And all of it is an extension of the Borei Olam, kivyachol. Mispashetas ahava tahir tamidis al yon al-kol yisrael al-kol tahir shabal peh. The ahava ma'av hekes is ha'kara shal ha'pratim. And the love that you feel for the Jewish people sharpens your recognition, your understanding of all of the details. You understand Torah in a different way. You see this detail as part of a bigger picture, which is how all, that's what lamdas is. What's lamdas? A lamdan is a person that doesn't just get stuck on this word. And a lamdan sees this word as part of a big sugya and how everything fits together in the sugya. Not just a prat, he sees the whole klal. That's a lamdan. And it sharpens and fine-tunes the kishrein, that ability, that skill that a Jew has who's learning Torah, to learn one din from within another, to go deeper and deeper and deeper. That's the meaning of bina yaseu that a woman has. That's the meaning of bina yaseu that a woman has. That one, to go deeper, to go one thing leads to another thing, to another thing. That's the meaning of Eim HaBanim Simeicha. The word Ben is the lashon of Bina. A child is Bina. Then this person until now was more limited. And he would look at a certain halacha, or he would look at a certain drasha, whatever, and he wouldn't be able to learn deeper and go into it and to be Maitzi Dav Mitar Dav. But when the person is connected to Knesset Yisrael, to this Ruach HaKadosh that Rav Kook is talking about, that Shoel HaAdam, where he sees the bigger picture, then things begin to get connected one to the other. And he starts to understand things in that way of Bina, which is Lahavin Dovim Mitoich Dovim. And from there, he returns to a great love and affection to Torah Shebichsav, to Bereishis Elokim, to every word of Torah Shebichsav. That's the mommy. That's where it comes from. Rum Tefarta, in the greatness of all its splendor. Ushnehem Yachad, and together, the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebichsav, Misnoitzim begivanim nehirim, sparkle with shining colors. B'tor shayresh nishmas ha'uma vanafer. With that light of the root of the soul of the Jewish people that has grown and spread forth to many, many branches, and many leaves and many flowers. It's all shining in that way. All the colors. Everything is sparkling with beautiful colors. Every pasuk, every word in the Chumash, every din, every drasha in the Gemara is sparkling with these colors of the branches and the flowers that come out from the root of that tree that's called Knesset Yisrael, that shayrish of Knesset Yisrael. Everything is seen in the light of that beauty, and he understands things much on a much deeper level, in a much deeper way. That's the inyan of Pnimiyas HaTorah and Rabbi Shimon after he came from the cave, which Bez Hashem will talk about. Each one of us should be Zaychim Mitz Hashem to see not only to learn the Pnimiyas of Torah, which is a big Shechiyah, but we should be able to understand the Pnimiyas of a Yid, and in that Shechus Hashem will see the Pnimiyas of each and every one of us, and each one of us will be zeichet to do tshuva, and will be zeichet to glashan v'amikus v'amayim.